Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Michael's back. Yeah, Michael's back. Come on, Michael's back. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh my goodness. I love this hour. I get a chance to visit with my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles. There is so much to talk about and so little time. So let's get to it. How you doing, son?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much.
Is it still raining out there?
You know, it sprinkled a little bit, but the sun was out and it was actually sprinkling sideways, just weird and beautiful at the same time.
Sprinkling sideways?
Because there's serious winds today. So it was a very light sprinkling outside. The sun was out, but because of the wind, it was just sprinkling sideways. It was like, here's some rain. Sprinkles. It was like, it was as if the sky was just really happy and just kind of spritzing your face. But it was, no major rain today, but the skies have cleared and it was gorgeous, freezing cold. But gorgeous outside everywhere in Los Angeles.
That's fantastic. Boy, you know, it's amazing, Michael, how the weather is changing all over the world. But at the same time, we have moments of absolute beauty. I mean, for you to say that it was raining sideways, that's just pretty awesome. Well, I'm serious. Yeah. That's just pretty awesome. It is. I'm trying to imagine what that looked like.
We'll just imagine a heavy rain in the wind, you know, where the rain seems to be going sideways as opposed to straight down. But just a drizzle and the sun being out. It was really pretty. Also, since we've had so much rain, everything is green. All the hills are green. The mountains are snow-capped. It is beautiful here now.
Wow, how about that? Are you wearing a jacket?
Oh, yeah. Sweaters, jackets, hats, scarves. You know LA people. We're all freezing and shivering. In fact, I was just at a birthday party earlier this afternoon. And it was at the rooftop part of a restaurant. And it was so windy that the outdoor heaters that they have standing on the patio there were blown over and shattered on the ground. All the glasses at the bar kept getting blown off of the counter and were shattering the bottles of water that were stacked in one area were blowing over. I mean, it was just, they were not prepared at all for the severity of winds. There were trees in this new restaurant that were planted on the patio on the rooftop that were blown down and were like, the roots were exposed because the wind was so extreme up there.
Oh man, it's really pitiful. I almost started suggesting get some double-sided tape with some Velcro and put it, you know, and that wouldn't have worked at all. Not at all. Wow, that's
Welcome
amazing.
Velcro bar. Why do you call it that? Well, you see the wind.
The Velcro bar. I like it. I like it. Hey, Michael, earlier tonight, I had a chance to talk to a senator, State Senator Carrie Dedzic, and she was joining Steel Talking to talk about her new bill that she is offering up that would make the first 2 years of college tuition free at Minnesota public colleges and universities. What do you think about that?
Yes.
Right. That was exactly what I said to her. I said, so let's just begin. What do I think? Yes. Let's just do it. That's a no-brainer, right?
Well, it's a no-brainer, but of course, people in politics always tend to package these bills with other things. So I would hope that bill is as clean as it sounds, but I'd love to be able to read the whole thing and see how they're going to accomplish that, where the funds to pull it off would come from. Because if it's first 2 years are free, but we're going to raise taxes and do that to make it happen, which, again, I haven't read it. So I'm not sure if that's what it is. But if that's how they were to accomplish it, then no. You know, I'd like to find a better way to do it. But on principle, oh my goodness, absolutely, yes, I would love it for all college to be free. I think all public universities being free would be a great
start
in the American education.
Absolutely, a great start. And by the way, she included books. I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh,
oh my goodness.
Come on, Michael, what was the most you paid for a college book, a class
book? Individual book, probably like close to 200.
Oh, 315 for me, man.
Wow.
Yeah, it can be really expensive. Can you imagine having, let's just say, three classes, and each book was $300? That's $1,000 almost. Like, what?
Easily, yeah. It's crazy.
So I hope that we can make that happen. Of course, many people are going to say, how are you going to pay for it? How much, like you said, in tax dollars, are you going to raise taxes or what? What happens? One man called in tonight that made a really great comment about what happens if the state says, oh, okay, we're going to pay the first 2 years, and the last 2 years, if you stay with these institutions, then the price is going to go way up. You know, like the University of Minnesota has been going up nearly every year past decade. And so what happens then? If the state jumps in to help, then do they say, ooh, let's go up some more? I don't know. I'm not quite sure how that would work. But maybe that's something they can work out with the bill. I just hope they do it because it's killing us. It's killing people who are in school.
A whole generation, my generation, that is, you know, are saddled with extraordinary amounts of student loans and took out loans to go through all these various high-priced universities. And it's changed the whole economy. I mean, why aren't those in my generation buying more cars, buying houses, buying diamonds, going to certain family restaurants? It's because we can't afford to do those things. The employers don't treat us properly. They don't pay us well. And we have these extraordinary student loan payments to make. And as I said to you many times before, that's really the main factor. And my friends who have houses, the parents help them buy them. The parents have to help them for every major purchase that they have. And throughout the entire process, they help raise the kids, they help pay for the kids, and at extreme amounts, higher amounts than I think the previous generations have had to do. So, yes, that would be it's an economy booster, if you think about it.
It should be. That's for sure. It should be. So, Michael, we actually have on our Twitter account here at WCCO Radio, this actual thing. We're asking people to weigh in on this idea of having, you know, the new bill that Carrie Dietzick, the senator, presented that would make the first 2 years of college tuition free at Minnesota public colleges and universities. And so we want to know what you think. We want to know what the listeners are thinking. Should the state provide funding for students to attend college? So all you have to do is go to our website at WCCO Radio, or go to twitter.com and then look up WCCO Radio and answer the question. Say no, students should pay. Yes, I like the idea. Or the third, I'm for no interest loans at all. And some people think that, it's like going to theater. I had a dear friend say to me one time, you know, if you don't have people pay for theater, they'll never go because they feel like, well, if it's free, it's not worth it. Do you ever feel like that, Michael?
No.
No, me either. It's not worth it because it costs money? No. Can I tell you how many outfits I have purchased that weren't worth the money?
No, but there definitely is a part of buyer psychology where if it costs more money, we ascribe more value to it. So like clothing, for instance, they completely overpriced clothing, even brands that aren't major name brands, because when those items go on sale, as so many of them do, you'll say, oh, well, this used to cost this much, this amount, and I'm only paying this amount. Therefore, I'm more likely to buy it because it has more value. Right. Yeah, colleges, of course, know that. And if a school costs a ton of money, you ascribe more value to the university and say that it's a better school because it's expensive. And even tiny schools, where there's only a few thousand on campus, if the price is high, someone goes, oh, well, that must be a good school because it costs a lot of money.
Yeah. So what is that school in Malibu that's up on the hill that's owned by the United Church? Pepperdine. Isn't that the most expensive school in the country?
It was. I believe it flips from the top position between Yale and potentially one other Ivy League institution. Yes, it has often been the most expensive school. I think their tuition, actually, you know, I don't want to quote it because I'm sure it's higher than it was. I think it used to be in the mid-40s for tuition alone.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where it is now or if it's number one or if Yale or Harvard or someone else in the Ivy system has surpassed them.
Yeah. I think this whole idea of paying for the first 2 years would help not just the students, but would also help the professors. It would help the schools really make sure that they're preparing these students to go on to finish those last 2 years, because whatever they give you in those first 2 years are going to either, you know, boast or boost you up, you know, with all the other stuff you have to learn in the final 2 years, or you're going to have challenges if they don't do what they're supposed to do. So I think it's a great idea, and I'm praying that our young people will have the chance to do that. Now, speaking of the changes that are happening for your generation and beyond, of course, we've heard about Amazon going into New York, going into Queens to build headquarters for Amazon. And, you know, you and I have talked about so many times ordering online, and Amazon is huge. Jeff Bezos is one of the, he is the richest man in the world, supposedly. I'm not quite sure if I believe that, because what Putin has, no one really knows the full amount. And so it's been said that he may be the richest man in the world. But right now we have Jeff Bezos of Amazon. So, Michael, if you are ordering everything online and all the stores go down, and you've got Payless that's closing now, you've got, I mean, literally closing, shuttering all of their stores. You have JCPenney's that are closing a lot of stores. They're not going out of business yet, but they're closing a lot of stores. We know that Sears is already out there about to go out of business. They've closed so many stores. We can go on and on and on, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at what you purchase and what you need to buy, you definitely use Amazon, right?
Yes, for sure.
FedEx, you use UPS, but Amazon is probably your deal, right?
I'd say we order like paper towels.
You order paper towels?
From Amazon Prime, because it just shows up at your door. Yeah.
You order paper towels. My God, go to the store. Say it, girl, say it. Shaletta is screaming in the backyard, in the back here. Did you hear?
No, what she said.
Say what you have to say. Turn your microphone on. I'm with you. Go to the store.
Go to the store.
It's cheaper on Amazon.
It's cheap. Michael, come on. People need a job.
Here's the thing. Sorry to cut you off, but I normally always go to the store. You praise me quite well. I appreciate jobs. And I want people to have those jobs. I usually go, but I have several jobs. Like many people my age and my generation, we have our day jobs and a few side hustles. And so, yes, most days I'm at the store buying what I need, but sometimes it's just easier to click a button and have what I need show up. So I don't use it all the time, every day for everything, but every now and then it is most definitely a wonderfully convenient option to have.
Really?
Yes.
That's what it's come to. Convenience.
I think that's unfair, because that convenience is one of the strongest creators of progress out there. I mean, yes, convenience is a huge deal. I mean, back in the day, people used to take taxis, right? And that sounds funny now, because a taxi is just the more expensive Uber. The more expensive, less clean, less pleasant Uber. And who would take that option? And then pretty much, you only take a taxi if you really have to, or if you're at an airport that doesn't allow Uber, or simply there isn't an Uber available. But when Uber first came out, it was like, oh, but the taxi drivers are going to go out of business, and they have families to support. And the argument there was, okay, sure, but Uber is a far superior product and customer experience than taxis have ever been. So what is the reasoning to stick with the tried and true method if it's inferior? And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. Uber blew up, became huge, and then that beget Lyft. And I'm sure we'll get other ride services out there that are just better experiences. They're more convenient.
Yeah. You know, I took one of those services into work tonight, you know, to make it a little easier for myself, not having to park and all that.
Mm-hmm.
His car smelled like, you know, sex. And it was really disturbing, can I just say? I mean, really disturbing. And I kept saying to myself, okay, how can this have happened, you know? And what do I say when I'm trying to determine how I would rate that person, you know? I don't know. Maybe someone that was in that car smelled like that. I don't know, but it was really disgusting.
Okay, but was it cheaper than a taxi? Was it easier to call?
But that's not what's important to me. See, that's a whole other thing. There's your generation that cares about what it cost.
No, I think, okay, so if you had a bad experience with that one driver, there are tools for you to actually give that individual driver a bad rating. And
yeah,
say,
yeah, but hey, he wasn't a bad driver. That wasn't the problem.
No, but you can specifically say on the Uber app, the car smelled bad. There's actually a preset button with
there
colors
is.
And a yes. design yeah. that says car smell.
Really? Really? Okay.
I kid you not. In two taps, you can say, I'm giving this person one star because the car smelled bad. Done and done. And Uber will call that person and say, hey, your car smelled. Had you taken a taxi, you would have virtually no recourse to inform the company that your experience was subpar. If they didn't drop you off at the right place, if they took the wrong way, maybe right. you could call the dispatcher and tell them. But in most cases, if the car smelled, they wouldn't care, nor would they even, you know, do anything if you told them. So, sure, even in that case, when the experience is bad, it is more convenient to fix the issue and to report that issue and have someone actually act upon it than it was before.
Should they be able to rate us and what we smell like?
They do.
They do?
So each passenger on the Uber app has a rating. And so if you have a low rating because you were out drinking and you, you know, hurled in their car, you were screaming, or you were abusive, or you did something crazy, they'll give you a low rating. And Uber could, some drivers could say, I don't want to pick up a person with a rating lower than this.
I did not know that. Did you know that, Shaletta? Yeah. I did not know that.
So it works. It's better for the drivers, better for the rider. Now, of course, it has its flaws. The former CEO of Uber, of course, was mired in controversy in 2018 for things that he said and that he did. I think he's completely stepped down at this point. That, of course, tanks part of the company for quite some time and really helped boost up Lyft and contrary to Uber. I feel like they should be paying me. Like, why do I know so much about this app? Like, who? Someone should give me something for this. This is basically a giant commercial for Uber at this point. I'm realizing this as I'm talking right now. But again, I use it. They're just a superior option to a taxi. I've had many bad experiences with taxis in the past
and couldn't
do anything about it. So is Amazon Prime my top option and what I use all the time?
No. Can't go back to Amazon Prime. Because here's the deal. Do you think that New York should have turned down Amazon for wanting to build this gigantic headquarters?
No.
You don't think they should have done that?
No, but that is given that I don't have any of the facts around what kind of impact that center is going to have on the city.
Well, of course, they talked about the myriad jobs that would be offered to, you know, in the thousands. But you and I both know that, you know, of course, there's been talk about how little they pay in taxes and that sort of thing, and that it's, you know, corporate welfare and that sort of thing. A lot of that has been talked about. But at the crux of it, to me, the most important point, Michael, is that if you are going to go into a city like New York City, which really should be seen or viewed as the entrepreneur bastion of the country, you know, it's that one city where mom and pop shops exist everywhere, right? And then this behemoth comes in, you know, who is changing the way business is done. And before you know it, he'll be offering all the foods that these mom and pop shops offer. He'll be opening up his own stuff with those same recipes and sending them out everywhere. It's not like, you know, it's not like Amazon allows you to keep doing what you're doing. No, they copy it and then they offer some of the same services that some of these other companies were offering, these other stores were offering. That's my challenge with it. And it, to me, that would change who New York City is. And I don't want that to change.
But Manhattan is filled with chains, corner to corner.
No, you can't say it's filled. New York, Manhattan is filled with a lot of corporate buildings, right? Skyscrapers. Yes. But it took forever for Target to get in. It took forever, Michael. Target was, you know, came into view in 1962, right here in the great state of Minnesota. It's one of our own. It took a long time for Target to land in Manhattan, right? And you've had so many other big box chain stores that have wanted to be in Manhattan, and they don't have tons of them. They don't. And the other islands, the other boroughs don't have it like Manhattan does. So this is going to go into Queens. Can you imagine what it would do to Queens?
Provide a lot of jobs.
But it provides the jobs that are going to take away other jobs. They're going to be family businesses, I can imagine, that all of a sudden some of their employees, even family members, go, yeah, but I can go over here and make way more money. I got to go. I just attended a family business forum or family business panel discussion at the University of St. Thomas just this past Friday. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about small business, big business that's run by families and what that really means. How do you hold on to your employees? You know, making them feel like they're special in a family. You know, a lot of the big companies aren't very good at that. Some are, but the majority are not. So for them to move into a Queens, that's a whole nother ball game. The one thing we should do, to me, opinion, is that we should at least pay attention to what they want, what the people of Queens want. If they don't want it, then it shouldn't be there.
Is that the case?
Well, let's just say it didn't go through, did it?
I don't know. I hear what you're saying, and I think it's so easy to point at these companies and say, well, they're bad because they've optimized the process and small businesses are closing. And that is bad. I'm definitely not a supporter of Walmart, you know, and other companies like that sometimes. But I do love Target. I'm from Minnesota, so Target's a big deal in the Twin Cities, and I've always loved that company, and I always love going in there. I still shop there. I've been in commercials for Target. So it's hard to say, oh, Amazon's bad, but the thing that I love called Target isn't, when I'm sure in some part of their growth is much like what we're seeing with Amazon. It's very, very hard to have a national brand of anything, have any kind of product without pushing out competition that has less user awareness. So if you create a new app, a new rideshare service, a new way to order your paper towels, a new way to go shop for household items and clothing and food and all the things that Target offers on various sizes and scales around the country, you're going to push somebody out. And ever since single company going back to like Marshall Fields, Dayton, that company, Macy's, all these, the department store itself was in part a weight against the mom and pop shop. So I feel like I like to give more room for a company like Amazon to move into an area like Queens and to expand and to grow and to do it responsibly and see how it goes before I point a finger first and go, well, that's inherently bad.
Well, when they eat you alive, I hope I can find your head and talk to you. All right, honey, we're going to take a break. It is now 10:31. We got some weather to do. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 10:33. I cannot believe how the time is flying. It's great to have you with us. Thanks so much for joining us. Just wanted to say this is the Mom and Michael Hour, my favorite hour of the night. And Michael, of course, we have to bring up something that is happening in Hollywood, of course, with the Oscars looming around the corner and so much more. You and I were talking about last week, the Grammys, the clothes that people were wearing. Did you finally get a chance to see all of them?
You know, I didn't.
You didn't? Come on.
We talked, and then my week got so busy, I never got a chance to go look at all those outfits. So I still need to go back and do it. But in relation to the Oscars, I've driven past it a few times, and I still smile ear to ear when I see them preparing and setting up for the Oscars, because it's why I moved here. It's Hollywood. It really is the award show that makes me the most excited, and it's, for me, is the most... It's the most Hollywood. It's the most fabulous. It's the most magical, you know? So it's happening. It's coming up this weekend, and it's wild that it's going to be right there next to where I live.
Okay, so, Michael, you were driving home, I think, Friday night, and all of a sudden you saw this gigantic propeller plane helicopter thing, and it was, like, almost right next to you on the highway, right? Was it the highway?
I was driving down Highland, which is a major street here in Hollywood, and these two enormous planes were flying in circles over the area, and they were very, very low to the ground. And when I say planes, these are those planes that have propellers on the front, as normal planes would, but they also turn vertically so that they can lift off vertically, as opposed to having
like a helicopter.
Right. So, but they were flying in circles in helicopter mode, So they were really, really loud, and they're enormous planes. I actually thought it was pretty cool. I mean, because it's rare that you get to see a piece of machinery like that flying over your head that low to the ground.
Wow. I can't even imagine that. I have to look up what this looks like because I really can't imagine it. But, yes, you are excited about the Oscars. There's a lot going on. How far away will you be to try to see all the stars? Three blocks away or right by your place?
Oh, no. I mean, it's probably a 10-minute drive from where I actually live. But when I drive home from work, I still get to see the whole setup. But you can't even drive within, I'd say, 3-4 blocks of the Oscars when it actually happens. Everything is shut down in the entire area. And unless you have proper credentials, you can't even pull into a street to get in there. So we're all very aware when it happens. It causes traffic jams everywhere. But
just be prepared. Yeah,
you can still see them putting up the whole thing. And in fact, if I drive past, probably on Friday, I could look at the red carpet and see it going all the way to the street when you're driving by the first time. So
that's amazing.
It's still pretty magical.
You know, the first time you and I saw the red carpet, I think the most shocking thing for me wasn't their outfits or, you know, who was on the red carpet. It was how short they were.
Yes.
Do you remember how short people were? Even Queen Latifah was short to me.
Yeah, I mean, she's one of the taller ones. But, yeah, there are a lot of actors in Hollywood who are very, very short. But there have been a new batch of actors who are quite tall. I know Jason Momoa, who plays Aquaman, he came in for a meeting at a company that I worked back in 2010. And having him walk in the front door, I mean, I'm 6'3 almost, and he is way taller than I am. So it was quite shocking to have him walk in, and I was like, oh, you're a huge dude. So there definitely are some big actors out there right now who are breaking the mold and who are very tall.
Okay, yeah, but how many do we really see? We don't see them enough. I think that's it, right?
True. There aren't that many of them, but I mean, I was told back in the day, if you're tall and you're trying to be a leading man or be an actor in that regard, that you won't book roles because you're just too tall.
Right.
So I'm happy to see big stars, excuse the pun, come out who are very tall.
Yeah, but they also told you that if you can't do, you know, angry gangster guy, you will never be in the movies.
Yeah, in short, we're in better times. Molds have been broken.
Okay. Hey, Michael, really quickly, you have any update on Jesse Smollett? Of course, we don't know now what is going on. He is sticking to his story. They're talking about what could possibly be. And so there's a lot of possibilities, but no facts.
That's how I feel. This whole thing is extremely confusing. I don't know what is what. My emotions from the first story are still there, and they're compounded with confusion now that we're not sure what parts of the story are true and which parts are not. One thing I can guarantee you is that this is not going to end well either way. If the story is true, there's going to be a whole thing around that. Of course, that's a horrible event. If it ends up not being true, that's going to have effects throughout the whole country. And of course, even more so in Hollywood, his career, of course, would be over. If that's the case, he would have instantaneously blacklisted himself. But at the same time, it's going to affect every other victim that wants to come forward and talk about any sort of crime, hate crimes, sexual assault, any of those things. It's going to change how we look at those victims. And most of them are telling the truth. So really, I hope that that's not how this particular story plays out, because it's going to hurt so many people down the line.
Okay, so now it's time for something completely different. Because when you do what you love, you're gonna love what you
it
do.
It makes me happy,
you
Michael,
know
when
I do
hear
it
song.
With love. Each night I do it for you. It's a dirty word. Yeah, Hollywood's a dirty word. Somebody's got to do it, right? And my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles, absolutely loves the whole industry and all of its craziness and madness. I'm not quite sure why I think you need a therapist, but we can talk about that at another time. All right, son, you had a chance to go and see the one that we love. We've known Rebel Wilson for a while. We've seen some of her work, and now she's in this rom-com called Isn't It Romantic?
Yes, Isn't It Romantic opened actually on the 13th, right before Valentine's Day, because, of course, it is a rom-com, so that was a proper time to put it out. So far it's made just over $20 million, which isn't amazing, but I'm guessing the budget of this film is probably $40 million or under. So this thing should hopefully at least break even by the time it's finished its run. So currently, it's at number three in the box office. Its three-day total is $14.2 million. Its five-day total, including the 13th when it came out that evening, again, as I mentioned, is 20. Rebel Wilson, she's fantastic. She's hilarious. I loved her in almost all the films she's been in. I got a chance to meet her recently. She's really nice. It was really fun talking to her. But I went into this film not knowing if it was going to be any good. The trailer seemed cute, but I just wasn't sure if the concept could really hold up or if all the funniest parts were in the trailer, which often seems to happen in films in this genre.
Yeah, in fact, you just mentioned last week that What Men Want was one of those.
Yeah, all the funniest parts were in the trailer. That film, What Men Want, was really slow and not that great and was hugely disappointing. So I came into this one hoping for something better than that, and I was pleasantly surprised.
You were?
Isn't It Romantic is not the kind of film where you're laughing out loud, side-splitting, oh my gosh, I can't stop laughing. It's not that kind of movie. It's a light chuckle. You're amused. You feel kind of happy, and then you feel all warm and fuzzy inside by the end. And
but it's a comedy.
It's definitely a rom-com, but it's not... It's a comedy, but it's not like I'm crying laughing. It's not that kind of funny. It's like this is silly and fun and charming and cute, and these characters are extremely likable. And all of the stereotypes of rom-coms that they're making fun of in this movie are very true. And then they do all of those in the film itself, everything from the camera angles to the clothing to the music. Even filmically, the oversaturated color of the film itself. So it very much harkens to all these rom-coms from the 90s and early 2000s, and really what was wrong with many of them, things that just didn't make sense, but in a very funny way.
Well, I find it fascinating that, you know, this kind of movie with Rebel, it's not the kind of movie you would see a woman like her in, but it's kind of like Groundhog Day, right? It's just happening over and over and over again, and she finally catches on and realizes how she can take advantage of it, right?
Not exactly. Once she's in that world, it's happening one way through. I mean, it's not repeating, but it is clear that she's not going to be able to get out of this rom-com world until she has a particular epiphany, which has to discover what that is. So she's more stuck in this as opposed to it repeating over and over again. The story would progress either way. But you should check it out.
Yeah, I would love to check it out. And speaking of progressing or the lack thereof, I'm just shocked at the numbers for this weekend. I mean, Alita, Battle Angel, there has been overcompensation for marketing. Brand New came in at number one, but it made $27,800,000 and with a total gross of $36 million. I thought this was going to be a bang-up ticket for Alita because it looks so different and people are probably into that sort of thing, but it doesn't appear to be so.
It doesn't appear to be so, and they spent $170 million.
Did you say 170?
$170 million just on the production budget, if you were to add in P&A. My estimate would be that they're in for about $250. I've heard reports that they would have to make, you know, $500 million for this thing to turn a profit, but those numbers are usually fuzzy sometimes, so who knows what the actual number is. But, yeah, this is a huge blockbuster picture that was coming out on a holiday weekend. And really trying to be counter-programming to Valentine's Day and hoping to pick up the audience for this genre. And it just didn't really work. In fact, as Box Office Mojo reports, this was the lowest President's Day weekend box office in 15 years. So it just couldn't quite pick up the heat. But I do want to remind you of a few numbers that, of course, I love and love talking about.
Okay.
$1.346 billion. That's $1.346 million and some change is the worldwide domestic gross of Black Panther. The domestic numbers were over $700 million. It was the number one film of 2018. It's still the biggest, the biggest domestic gross for a superhero film ever. It was the biggest release in February. This exact weekend last year was the biggest winter release ever. So why did the studio pay $170 million on Alita and release it in what is normally a slow month? Because they were hoping to tap into the Black Panther numbers from last year, and it did not succeed.
Ah, so it wasn't the weekend. It was the movie.
Yes.
Wow. How about that? So it's up for Oscars. Do you think there's any chance?
I don't think Black Panther's going to win Best Picture. And I would love to be wrong about that. I mean, I would just love to. I will squeal. I will get up and dance and twirl if it wins Best Picture. But I don't think it's going to because of the politics around the Oscars. In fact, I think Roma might win because of politics. And we all know I did not like that movie. I thought it was just horrendously boring. But there's a chance that people are going to like it. The Academy might go for that one. But I've seen all of the best Oscar pictures, and there are several amazing options in there. My two least favorite of all the best picture options are Roma and Green Book. Those two films I would love to not even be in the category because they're just not worthy of the nomination at all.
I remember you saying that. And A Star is Born, you really liked. And Bohemian Rhapsody, did you like that one? I can't remember.
I liked both of those. I'm not sure if they're worth the Best Picture Oscar. And A Star is Born could potentially also win, which would be infuriating. But it could, because it's the type of film that the Academy tends to go for. So,
well, The Favorite is one of those they tend to go for, too.
That's true. And that one is amazing. Vice is amazing. Black Klansman is just stellar.
Oh, can you imagine if the first black director to get Best Picture, I think it's up for Best Picture, right? Black Klansman.
And I personally think that Black Klansman is Spike Lee's best work since Malcolm X, which is one of my favorite films.
One of my absolute favorites. Oh, my God.
So this one's on that level for sure.
Okay. So do you think people, like, you had a chance to see all of those that were up for Oscars this year, and do you think people are going to run out and see it, or at least, you know, pay for it on Netflix or whatever to see it? So
I think so. With the exception of Vice, most of those films have done pretty well. I think The Favorite did really well when it was only in a few theaters early on and has done well as it's continued. Vice, for some reason, people just did not run out to go see it. If that one wins, I think more people would go see it. But I feel like the word of mouth is already really out on Black Klansman and a few others. Green Book is actually doing pretty well, which is, again, infuriating. But it's doing really well in theaters, in the box office. Black Panther, as of course I mentioned, was record-breaking, huge, one of the biggest films ever in history. So, yeah, maybe from one or two of those films, winning would give them a substantial bump. But for other ones like Roma and Vice, most likely not.
Okay, we got to take a break, Michael. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour. As we wrap up our hour tonight, we're going to come back and just follow up on some stories that I wanted to mention earlier, and we'll be out of your hair. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 10:52 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to the Mom and Michael Hour as we wrap up tonight. I want to mention, Michael, that when you were talking about Vice a moment ago, I didn't realize that Tyler Perry was in it.
Yeah, it's an unexpected,
really?
And mildly unpleasant surprise in that movie when he hits the screen. But yes, he is in it playing a serious role. He actually plays Colin Powell in the movie.
Oh,
and
wow.
It almost ruined it. His face is so married with his main character, his drag character, that it's really hard to take him seriously in any movie. And he has been in a few films, actually, with some serious acting. I think he was in Alex Cross back in the day.
Yeah,
one
sure
of those
was.
Films. And there was another one where he pops up randomly, and every time he hits the screen, there's like a slight chuckle from the audience.
Because it's Madea, huh? He can't get over
it. Yeah,
he has to change his lips.
Yeah, but yeah, he played Colin Powell in Vice.
Okay, speaking of Madea, of course, she's coming up with Tyler Perry has come out with the final movie. It hasn't opened just yet, but it's opening this year. It's called A Madea Family Funeral. Have you heard about that?
I have seen the trailer, yes.
What did you think of the trailer?
You know.
Is it same old?
It's the same old.
But she's beloved, you know. It's a beloved character.
It's a beloved character, and it's one of the most profitable franchises out there. I mean, he spends maybe $10 million on those films, and they open to $50 and then go on to make nearing $100 on some of those films. Some of them didn't make as much, but still the budgets are so low that it doesn't really matter. So if I sound kind of about it, it's because the films themselves aren't that great. Some of them are very entertaining, but they're just based. So they're really, they're the lowest common denominator of films. and they aren't high art.
The Tyler Perry movies?
Yeah. They're just base. That's really what they are.
Wow. I don't see that at all. I think it opened up the field for black directors, black writers, black actors and actresses. I mean, I disagree with that. No, not that come on.
But that's a different conversation. I actually completely agree with you that he has changed the industry because he showed Hollywood how much money can be made with films that have all black cast. And I've had many friends get mad at me for saying that. So, if I ever met Tyler Perry, it would be the first words out of my mouth would be, thank you for proving what we already knew. It was a huge deal to change the town. However, as a critic, I have to acknowledge that the films themselves are often not as good as they could be.
Interesting. I did not expect that, Michael. You surprised me. You absolutely surprised me, but I'm going to go see it. Just want you to know.
I'll go see it. Again, I've seen some of his movies. They're very fun. I'm laughing sometimes, but it's still a man in a dress. Let's not forget that part.
I think it's a great character, and I think she's beloved, and I think it's going to do very, very well. As you know, Tyler Perry was the first one to bring in the black audiences, making millions and millions of dollars. So that's a really big deal.
It is, but again, let's not forget the history of black men and dresses in film. That he was able to open the door is important and wonderful, and I'm very happy he did that, but that he had to use a long-standing trope that black men have been forced to do in this town to accomplish that goal is challenging.
Ooh, it's just too heavy at this hour. We got to go. Hey, Michael, are you going to go see Alita next week?
Maybe I'll see Alita after I finish spilling this tea.
I love you, son. Thanks for joining us.
I love you, too. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, that's my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles. What a pleasure it has been having you on with us tonight. It really means a lot to me. And so when I said earlier that I get a chance to fill up with you, knowing that you're listening, knowing that you're there, every time you come up to me when I'm out and about and say, Jarlene, we love your show, keep going, keep going. I cannot tell you what that does for me. So thank you. Make sure you pay attention to all our Twitter accounts here at WCCO. Keep watching for us. Make sure you stay tuned to Who's On in the Morning. Dave Lee and the guys are on first thing in the morning at 5 o'clock, I think it is. And you just got to listen. They are hilarious. Have been for years. What a pleasure. You take care of yourselves, you guys. Stay out of trouble and stay positive. No matter what, national emergency, no matter what, stay positive. And I'll see you next Sunday. Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.